episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
Hello, friends. I'm back. It's Beachy here for another episode of Remember Who You Are. Today, I have a really interesting bit to present. It's Monday, February 23rd, 2026. Lots of stuff happening in the world out there, but I'm going to stick to my script and talk about what I planned. Maybe next time I'll come on and talk about all the crazy stuff happening out there in the world today. Hope you're all doing well. And, well, we do have a big snowstorm on the East Coast that's giving a lot of people heck out there, power outages, etc. It's winter time, of course, but we're okay here in California. I'm having a beautiful sunny day. So let's get started. So I've been talking about water. Water is fascinating, of course. And I'm going to move on now to something that's related. And the title of this show today is We Are the Technology. What do you think? All we have to do is get out to the sun and charge. The sun is like our energy ray. And that doesn't sound very high tech. Too simple. No, no, no. But yet we are pretty advanced. We are pretty amazing vehicles, vessels, whatever you want to call yourselves. Energetic beings having a material experience. I like that term. But we breathe in fresh air and we breathe out pure love and appreciation for life. If we do this, I think this is what we're meant to do. Enjoy life and exchange the energy. The air is filled with our vibration and others' vibration. Everything is vibration, actually. And you determine if it's a good vibration or not so good energy or angry, scattered, unfocused one. Your choice. I think you remember the discussion I had last episode about coherence, how our vibration frequency or hertz level, they call it hertz, sends out an energy pattern, and depending on what that vibration, if it's a coherent one or if it's a scattered one. Remember the example I discussed about the sand on the surface that creates a beautiful crystalline pattern like a snowflake, or it could be all kind of jumbled and not really making any kind of a picture, just kind of out there jumping and scattered. When you create, you're breathing out the beautiful waves of love, because when we create, we are in the zone. Now, creating can be something, just any activity that brings you pure joy. And that's how you create the pattern of love that can be passed out. You know, like if you're a musician, after the break.
No matter what you say,
you're listening to Conversation
or your preoccupation
on Truth Meets www.thepodcast.com.
You can practice every day.
And now, back to the conversation.
The art of conversation.
And we're back. You're on truthmeets.com with Beachy and the Remember Who You Are show. I'm telling you who you are right now. You're pure love. You're creation. You are sending it out, your vibration to the world with every breath. And I was talking about before the break, you know, some people write music. Some people like to build things. Others like to create yummy meals, whatever, repair things, whatever you, like I said, whatever floats your boat, whatever brings you joy. Sometimes people just like to restore, even just cleaning and maintaining something that they really love. So create, repair, cleanse. These are all activities that help us to throw out that love. Some people like plants, flowers, growing food. Working with colors is something I truly appreciate. I like to just play with materials like gemstones that have different colors, and of course flowers and colored pens, paints, things that you could make a beautiful picture with. But what people don't realize is that colors have also individual vibrations. They have different feelings that come with them. You know, you can resonate with certain colors and identify, like, they all have, like I said, a frequency or a vibration, and they all have healing properties that they're calling to you to help with, say, an emotional issue. So like, for example, yellow is a happy color. It's helpful if you're depressed or sad, kind of lifts your spirits. There's a modality of healing that uses color through a light source. So like people sit in front of a light with a color, kind of a color filter over it, and for a period of time, and it has been shown to heal. Of course, I mean, I have this book from, I believe, the 70s that this gentleman came up with it. There's also something called red light therapy that's pretty popular these days as a healing tool. You can see it offered in, you know, your alternative healing centers. I've even seen it in some of the mainstream allopathic venues as well. It's becoming quite popular. Like I said, I'm not sure exactly what is, you know, what you use it for, but you could probably research on that. I also ran across this book about an entire theory around color. Like I said, this gentleman has this whole modality that he created where you put color, different colors, and all the colors are associated with whatever ailments. I mean, he's got this whole chart and how long you're supposed to sit in front of this light and what it will relieve. And it's very interesting. Also, there's a gentleman who has taken this theory and created tuning forks to match with the color therapies. I mean, it's combines sound and color. This gentleman's a longtime musician, so that's something obviously he's been working with for a long time, so he's probably experimented and witnessed. Now, again, there was another book I read that was very interesting called, what was it called? The Secret Life of Plants. And that was, again, from the 70s. And a lot of people read it where they were studying, doing experiments to show that plants have reactions to different types of music. You know, like, for example, they would play them some crazy rock music, headbanger music, and then they would play, you know, like some classical Beethoven. And the plants seemed to respond more to the Beethoven and the classical, not the dissonant hard rock headbanger music. But if you know people who are green thumbs or got their hands in the plants all the time, they will tell you that they talk to their plants and they have witnessed that they get better results if they talk to their plants or give them loving attention. They respond with greater yields or more flowers, just the general overall health of the plant. And, of course, water and sunlight are very key to these living entities as well. Just like us, we need sunlight and water. So, like you said, we're back to the water again. Throwing in the reminder that geometry is in the creation and the water is creating the geometry and the memory stored in our energetic beings. You know, you can think about your bones as being a crystalline storage of information. We often hear phrases like, I can feel it in my bones, or you know, sometimes people say that, oh, it's going to rain because I got a pain in my ankle or whatever. Bone aches. The body's giving you messages. I think our body's always giving us messages, again, holding data from our ancestors, maybe from past or things passed down in our cellular makeup, energetically, emotional, trauma. Homeopathy uses plants this way to. It's a very old modality. Again, got pushed aside when the AMA came along. But it uses the concept of energy principles by using these frequencies from the plants, and they somehow distill it down into their energetic properties or vibrational properties in their little tonics, and you take them and it somehow prompts your own healing abilities. Homeopathy is so much more than the I mean, I never really looked into it, but it's really quite a fascinating study and how it's supposed to help you just jumpstart your body into being to go on into remind your body that it's got work to do and get on it. But ultimately, again, I think, yeah, our bodies are extremely, extremely technical in that regard. That's why I say we're the technology. We're so complex and we have so many functions and operations going on all day long in our bodies. And all we have to do is enjoy the ride. So be grateful and understand. So just understand how powerful we are as humans. We can be even more powerful when we're syncing up together. We can connect and discuss ideas, come up with solutions, and we can work together and turn around a whole lot of nonsense that goes on in our world. And sometimes I think we forget this. We like to sit around and complain, but, you know, sometimes I think we should just talk about solutions. I want to go remind you, I did talk about confusion, mind control through the words, censorship, changing the definitions, uploading of new terms. Our entire lives are a psyop enclosed in our language that limits our thoughts. Think about the phrase, words cannot express, or I'm feeling there. I don't have the words to express the feelings, or something like that. Again, so there's so much information in our feelings, in you know, it's intuition. Sometimes you just get a feeling, and there's lots of information in there. There's information in a picture. There's information in touching something. There's information in a smell, a sound. All of this is the basis of deeper communication that's so, so limited when we just use words to describe what's going on around us. So again, like you said, we are the technology. We seem to have forgotten. If you consider animals, all the information that they rely on for their very survival, all that information was handed down through generations of their existence. They all seem to be just born with the knowledge on how to navigate their particular habitat for their species. I mean, it's just all there. They just get born and, you know, the birds are flying, they're tweeting, they're digging up worms. it's kind of magical. It's amazing. And again, I believe we too have all this technology within us, and there's evidence. We have lots of evidence. I think we all are operating on a daily basis without even realizing all the things that are going on in our person. But we have so many distractions, and so we disregard it. And of course, we're pushed away from looking at it, thinking about it. So I'm asking you right now, everyone, to think about it and consider that. Maybe even try to come up with a few examples of, even nonverbal communication with your family members. That goes on a lot in households, your pets, even those of us who talk amongst these channels, say in the Discord, we're talking with people across the world. I talk with a lot of the Australians here on Truth Meets server. And if you think about, I mean, to me, it's amazing. Not necessarily with the Australians, but I have experienced with people in Europe where I barely hit the send button on a text, and the person on the other end that I sent it to replies almost instantaneously, like they already got the message, boom, quick. And this has happened to me, you know, with other friends, you know, on not just on Discord, but your text, your regular phone text and stuff, where you're sending messages and they just go so fast. It's hard to believe that they've read it and had, you know, response time. It just comes instantaneously. But again, like I said, think about it. I can give you many more examples, but that would probably take more time than I'm willing to spend, because I want to talk about something else here, which is in the same phenomenon. Some things that are going on that we don't hear a lot about, and we don't give the attention to. So this whole topic started with, I heard a podcast about children being taught to see blindfolded. Now, a lot of these people that were talking about this, they're podcasters, but I've met some of these people. I've interacted with them at various events, so to speak. So in my immediate community, there's a teacher who she's taken some younger children and taught them to tap into their intuition. And basically, they put a blindfold over their eyes and they are taught to see without their eyes, basically. Like, initially, it would start where they would identify colors and objects that they would hold up, and not right in front of them. Sometimes it would be behind them. Sometimes it's far away where it's not possible, even if they had their blindfold off, that they could see. But they, you know, test them. And a lot of it is, they start off with closed eye meditations, and they're told that they can do this. It's entirely within their, their reach. And it's like they get them to believe it first. Of course, they do say it works better with younger children who are not so indoctrinated with the world. So you can, they tend to have a little more fantasy still in them, so they can, get on board with the concept. But anyway, it's fascinating because, surely we all probably could have done this. I mean, if this is in fact happening, and like I thought it was just this small little, group of people in my area, but as it turns out, as I looked into it more, there's people all over the world doing this. There's groups in Mexico, there's groups in England, there's groups in India and China, and they've been doing it for years. They've come up with this, and I'm not sure exactly who initially started it or how it all came about, but it's out there and it's going strong. Like you said, it typically, they start with younger children because, it's easier. But of course, there's been others that have gone ahead, and if you're dedicated, they have these deprivation rooms. A lot of people hear about deprivation tanks, but some people just go to like retreats. They have these retreats, and people get their own like little rooms, and they pretty much walk around with these blindfolds all over, and they don't have any verbal communication. They walk around and basically spend like about a week and see what comes up. And a lot of times it's just for meditation, but I think it's a real chore to sit without any stimulation at all, like no television, no phones, no talking with other people, just hanging out, by yourself in nature, or even if you're just sitting in your own small little cubby, just being with yourself. I think that causes people to squirm a bit, but we're not used to this. This is not something that we're encouraged to do, or even we want to do. I think it does make certain people a little scared. But anyway, we're planted firmly in this material world and given a path to stay on. So after the break.
supported by listener donations at truthmeets.com. Click on the support link.
Truthmeets.com would like to shout out Lord Rolo for his generous support this month. Thank you, Rolo.
Thank you, Rolo. Truthmeets.com. You're here with Beachy. I'm talking about telepathy. Well, I'm not quite there yet, but I'm getting there. Like you said, these children that they were taught to identify objects and colors, well, they moved on from just that. They went on to reading books, playing interactive physical games with one another, like throwing balls and catching the balls with these blindfolds on. It's quite amazing, and very much to the surprise of all the parents who were witnessing. So again, as I learned more about this, I could not help thinking of the larger implications of all this as it lends to telepathy, as I said. And there are lots of people exploring this. And then I stumbled upon this podcast called The Telepathy Tapes. You can find it if you're interested. It's extremely interesting. I find it fascinating. So just to go over it, this podcast, it started out with a focus on autistic children. Now, autistic children basically are most, depending on where on the spectrum they are, they're mostly uncommunicative. There's the, you know, the high functioning ones, and then there's all the way at the very end who are basically just non-communicative. They barely can hold up their physical body. So let's see, where am I? Getting lost here. There's people studying this. They have found that telepathic abilities were pretty much across the board in every family who had the courage to investigate this or to find out and test it, because these children, like I said, are especially the ones in the very end of the spectrum who have never spoken a word. They were not able to, like, they're barely, like I said, barely able to move their bodies. So there's a doctor who somehow got involved with all of this. Her name is Dr. Diane Hennessy Powell. She's been trying to study this and do actual movable data. So because, of course, the academia and the medical establishment they're not very, they think it's not legitimate science. They actually go to the extreme of threatening to pull her license, as, you know, they're just think it's hokum. And of course, there's no support or resources, you know, to do studies. And so it's kind of just been done as people are able to. But there's a growing group of people, for example, like special needs teachers, and of course the parents, who are, because they have nowhere else to turn, this is at least something that they have been able to, you know, get some relief from, because in the academic world, or like just the regular public schools, nobody wants to have these kids in their curriculums. They just dismiss them as you know, they're just not, there's nothing there. They're just shells of people that there's nothing to teach. It's really quite sad that they, you know, do not seem to be interested in finding out how to reach these children. So, like I said, these children who can't speak, they're, you know, they're kind of in a trauma state all the time because they leave their bodies, so to speak, to escape because they're either in pain or they just have some real, I don't know, like, it's like they're banging their heads against the wall. They're screaming, they're rocking. It's kind of, you know, it's disturbing, of course, if to put them in a classroom with other children. But even so, you know, they're, you know, the schools just don't offer any kind of assistance. So the mothers, you know, are kind of caretakers as well as, you know, doing research to try to figure out, you know, what happened, what the heck happened to my kid or what's going on here? How can I help them? What, you know, what do I have for, you know, again, they have no connection. They've never, you know, because these children don't speak, they don't know what's happening inside. Now, again, that's what, you know, they were desperate. So the tragedy is, you know, that, again, they have to take care of them and do all the stuff. And the doctors tell them, well, there's nothing that can be done. And they kind of just wash their hands of it. So, you know, imagine the heartbreak of these parents. They need the support. They need answers. They want to know what the heck is going on with their poor baby. And anyway, so like I said, it is a growing group, and they're funding it themselves through grassroots efforts, and they're reaching out to each other to kind of look to, you know, find out what's your experience. And it's a very lonely existence for these parents. Of course, you can imagine, you know, they have these children, they can't go on vacation because sometimes hotels don't have the accommodations for, you know, some of these, the things that they need on a daily basis. Or if you go to a restaurant and, you know, your child is screaming or having some sort of a meltdown, you know, the other occupants are not very happy to see you there. So anyway, like I said, the families kind of have to find other families with the same issues to hang out with. And sometimes that's not always, you know, available. So when they do find other people to connect with and commiserate with, it's kind of a relief, and they can compare notes and they can, you know, offer, you know, whatever things that they have found work, they can share. Because, you know, like I said, because their physical bodies sometimes are not activated, it's difficult for them to perform everyday physical activities, like just things we take for granted, like eating and bathing and walking. And like I said, sometimes they rock or they scream, or it's very disruptive. And I'm sure the parents are just like exhausted. But anyway, the good news is, like I said, they have been coming together and realizing that, you know, that they can communicate. They have found if they teach them, you know, again, they kept saying, oh, there's nothing there. There's just a shell. There's nothing to teach. And but they have found that they could teach these children how to spell. And they give them like this thing called a leaderboard, and they type out, you know, the letters, and you know, it's like then they can form a sentence and speak. So, like you said, this has been, you know, kind of a slow process because you have to teach these children first that part, which again, they've never had any kind of instruction at all. And if you figure, though, that, you know, our autistic community is growing exponentially. I mean, I think I've last seen that it's like 1 in 35 children are somewhere on the autistic spectrum. So there's a great need here. And, you know, like I said, they're growing and they're probably finally getting some mass so that they can create some real headway. So like you said, this leaderboard thing has given them some real hope. And obviously the families, they can finally connect with their children. And it shows that they're not stupid. These kids are not, they're not shells. They're not just, you know, bodies there that vegetables. They're alive. They're observing and they're getting information in other ways that they figured out on their own. Like I said, they never taught them, they never bothered to give them any kinds of education, but they seem to know things. They have other ways of getting information. So again, they're finding out a lot of things through this process. Just the different ways that, like I said, that because they're, you know, very sensitive, they sometimes get exhausted with this leaderboard, even just typing out things. Cause like I said, their arms, sometimes it's hard for them just to move their arms to press a key. And they kind of take a lot of breaks and they kind of have to be calmed down because they're easily overwhelmed with lots of stimulation. So they kind of have to get into the right frame of mind to coordinate all this. But once they, you know, get to a point where they can, you know, do this process, they enthusiastically want to communicate. They do feel isolated and they're, you know, ecstatic that they can finally get their thoughts out because they're in there thinking, they are in there observing, they're in there, you know, watching and sometimes, you know, the wild part is some mothers have reported that these children will go into their mother's dreams at night. You know, I mean, it's once the floodgate is open, and I think this leaderboard thing is kind of just a jogging to probably just to hit the parents that, hey, yeah, there's somebody in here. There's somebody here that wants to make a connection. And then the, I think that's when the telepathy kicks in, you know, because it's like, you know, like I said, they go into their mother's dreams that they're kind of like saying, hey, you know, I'm here, open this connection so we can talk. I know it sounds crazy, but this is what the mothers have been reporting. And again, these kids have messages for us. They can help. They're smart. They want to help, you know, giving us solutions for what they see in the world. I mean, they want, you know, they come in love and they only want to help. They want to give you all the information that they've been gathering. And it's amazing. Like I said, these telepathy tape series, they go into, you know, they talk with different kids and of different ages, you know, a lot of times, by the time they get to be teenagers, like they have, you know, somehow they've amassed information about all kinds of subjects. Like there was this one little girl that she's like a medical intuitive. She can look at someone and see, she wants to tell them you have this issue going on. Maybe you should see a doctor. Or sometimes she even goes as far as saying you have this issue and here's the plant medicine that will take care of that. like you said, this one little girl, her older sister had some issues. I forget now what, I think it was like some digestive issues and things like that. And she suggested her to do a certain protocol of some plant medicine. And she and the sister took her advice and it cleared it up. So, you know, like you said, they also are interested in, you know, just like any other child, they have their interests, and somehow they got this information and from somewhere, you know, going into other people's brains. I don't know. Maybe they walked into somebody else's dream. But I know, sounds kind of creepy, but there's numerous testimonies, like I said, from folks, from other, even teachers. Like I said, there was a story where, interestingly enough, this was here in my neck of the woods in San Jose, California, where this mother and her son went to a alternative healing center where they had an EES system, which I've talked about in my other shows, which is it's kind of this wild technology where, you know, I have had direct experience with it. I set one up for my friend. And they're computers. It's like a computer that's sending out a lot of vibration. And while I'm not sure exactly how it works, it's, you know, people have made claims that it has healed them in various ways. All I can say is that I have sat in it and I have experienced the energy, and it basically makes you extremely relaxed. You're basically in your, I guess you would call it the theta dimension or whatever. It's like, you know, just before you fall asleep, you know, that kind of in between area where you're awake, but you're on your way to crashing. But anyway, like I said, and people that, you know, my friends that have gone and they loved it, they thought it was just, you know, they wanted to be in there. But anyway, back to the story. So there's this large installation of this technology in San Jose, and the mom and her son were recommended to go there because, you know, it's calming for, because like I said, these children are sometimes very sensitive and get very worked up and they just need to be calmed down. And so they suggested that she go to this center to sit in these energies and calm him down. And it did work. It calmed him down. And the, you know, surprise was there was another woman there who somehow, she was just there getting a treatment too. And she was not autistic. She was just a, you know, another woman on the street, basically. And so this child somehow telepathically connected with her. And so they started talking at outside of the you know, center there, and it was just kind of like a strange connection. And so then they, and I can't remember if she, you know, had experience with that or she just, it was something that developed there, but somehow, so after that they created, you know, they continued and they had this telepathic relationship. And even though they didn't physically see each other very often, they would often talk and, you know, just, you know, it was just like a friend for this child. And it was kind of a strange connection, but they all felt that it was a mutually satisfactory thing because, you know, the child had, again, messages for her and helping her with her career, you know, which, again, who knows how he knew about these things, but after the break.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
And we're back. I'm talking about telepathy, and I was telling a story again about these two individuals that connected through telepathy, an autistic child, and she was probably in her 20s, I think. She wasn't a child herself, but anyway, like I said, that was just one of the examples of, how somehow these children have abilities. Another example was there were some families, like I said, that had, when they started trying to reach out and find other families who, had autistic children so they could, just hang out with, they quickly found out when they started using the leaderboard that these children had already connected in their telepathic abilities. So it's like they are connecting with one another. And interestingly enough, a lot of them report that they somehow connect to this internet cafe, if you will, in the sky, and they call it the Hill. And they all have managed to find their way there to converge in a space that is similar to, say, a Discord channel, like what I'm on right here, right now. It's pretty wild to think that they do this all without any technology to assist them. They go there, they share information, they learn complex subjects, or they just hang out, because that was a connection to other beings, like, that they didn't have in their lives. So, again, we can extrapolate that back to the animal kingdom. I'm sure that the animals connect, the birds, the dolphins. You hear about all of these, groups of animals. But again, there are people who connect to animals too. Like one of the episodes were that they call them animal. I forget what was the name, psychics or anyway, they talk to dogs and horses and elephants and, when people have issues, like what I can remember about the horse is that there was this gal who, and this was in Sweden, I think, and the woman who was the animal psychic or whatever you call it, she called her, she was in another country, I think she was like in Austria or Italy, something like that. So anyway, it was a long distance, and this woman was so desperate she had to find an animal communicator because her horse, she was competitor. She, did that equestrian type stuff where you jump over the little fences. I'm not sure what you call that, but basically the horse would not jump over these things and he would stop. And so they thought, well, maybe he's got a leg issue or he injured himself somehow. And so they called in the regular vet, and the vet said, no, the dog, everything's fine. He's not harmed or hurt, whatever. And so she called this animal communicator just out of desperation because she had a competition coming up, and she, obviously she, that was her thing. And so the communicator came out, and as it turned out, the animal had told this woman that he did not want to jump over this, thing because he was afraid it was going to hurt the writer because he sensed that she had something going on in her, I forget, it was like her ovaries or her stomach area. And so the horse had diagnosed this gal. And so she went to the doctor, of course, to check it out. And lo and behold, turns out the horse was correct. So, I mean, crazy as that sounds, this is what people are reporting. This is what these, like you said, these telepathy tapes, you got to listen to them. There's several of them, and there's all these wild stories like this. Elephants in captivity, you know, the elephants were telling this woman, we want to go outside of that fence. Why don't you let us go out of that fence? I mean, it's crazy. It's funny. But, and sad, of course, because the elephants wanted to not be fenced in. Okay, so then moving on, there's another story, which is quite fascinating. It also, again, like you said, all of this stuff, it comes down to we have something to explore here that we really need to tap into, because I think there's huge implications for all of us. But anyway, so again, there was this guy who, well, he was the older gentleman who his wife had contracted Alzheimer's disease. And so he was caretaking. He was the sole caretaker, and he's having a difficult time because, you know, she was non-communicative, and, you know, he had daily, you know, frustrations and just trying to get her into the car to take her to the doctor or whatever. And, you know, he, because he could not communicate with her, because, you know, he was trying to say, you know, you gotta help me here, you know, because I don't know, you know, it's taken too long to, it's just too much of a frustrating process. Anyway, so, anyway, he was just so frustrated. One night he went to bed and he just, you know, was praying and asking God to help him, just give him any kind of help that, you know, please help him in this situation. And next thing he knows, his wife, who was laying in the bed right next to him, started communicating with him telepathically. She was telling him in, you know, his head what to do, or and asking him, like, how can I help, or what will, you know, what's, give me some, you know. So they worked it out in their heads telepathically, and then the next day everything went smoothly. So he, because he, you know, again, he thought, well, maybe I'm just making this up in my head, and, you know, but I'm gonna try, you know, what they discussed, and it all worked, and it was quite amazing, which again for him was very comforting, because obviously that would be a frustrating situation that you could not connect with your loved one. And of course, the woman was deteriorating, so she was eventually going to pass away. And, you know, without having any communication, that's probably a very, very unsettling, sad thing. But again, the story continues, because obviously eventually she did pass. And now, you might think, okay, well, that was it. But after she passed, and I can't remember if he said that he talked with her after she was on the other side, but I'll leave that for, you can find out if you go listen to these stories. But anyway, the next thing that happened was that he started getting contact from other people who had the same issue of Alzheimer's and asking him to get messages to their loved ones before they passed away. I mean, crazy, crazy, crazy. And it still goes on, you know, after like he, you know, it has been years now, and he's always getting, you know, people to, you know, get messages to people, which is, you know, he's just going to the grocery store and people stop and somebody, or he did not people stop, but he will be getting these messages and the person is telling him, go to that person in the, you know, the dairy section or whatever. And so he, you know, has to walk up to these people and ask them, you know, hey, are you open to getting a message from your relative? And I talk about, yeah, that would be a very difficult thing. But anyway, so yeah, he's kind of getting, I mean, he's getting feedback from this that it is, you know, they are getting relevant information pertaining to that individual. So it's been proving out that whatever's happening is legit. So again, you know, you may not want to believe this, but so many people are reporting these things, and they're always getting sidelined as unbelievable. But you know, they are trying to come up with ways to prove to the scientific community, of course, because everybody wants hard data, they want evidence. But you know, sometimes I think, you know, we have to just adjust ourselves because we've never been taught this, and maybe this is something that we need to embrace. Because again, as they say, some people say they have to see it to believe it. But you can also, I believe, I say, if you believe it, then you will see it. This is within our power, and this is how we need to approach things, because we are coming into a more technological age. Again, like I said, we're energetic beings having a material experience. And maybe the answer is to leave our material behind, or at least try to rise above it. Again, technology is advancing. We got this whole threat of AI upon us. We should probably try to move ahead of this AI, or it's going to take us over. Because if you remember what I called this show, we are the technology. And I think that's where we should focus. Anyway, that's what I got for you today. I know, wild stuff. Think about it. And again, I invite anyone out there, if you're listening or and have comments, or if you want to discuss this further, or of course, like I said, go check out those telepathy tapes. They are mind-blowing. Apple Podcasts. I'm not sure about the other. I'm sure they're probably on the other ones too, but I get it from Apple Podcasts, and they're on season 2, and I think they just started. They're probably like about a year into it, but lots and lots of interesting stuff. So anyway, there you have it. We are the technology. I'll talk to you later.
That's great. It starts with an earthquake, birds and snakes, an airplane. Lenny Bruce is not afraid. I have a hurricane. Listen to yourself. Turn world serves its own needs. Dummy, serve your own needs. Beat it up an ox. Speak grunt. No strength. The ladder starts to clatter with fear. Fight down high. Wire and a fire representing 7 games in a government for hire. The fury's breathing down your neck. Team by team reporters babble Trump, tether crop. Look at that, no plane, fine, then. Uh-oh, overflow, population common food, but it'll do. Save yourself, serve yourself. World serves its own needs.
It's the end of the world as we know it, and I feel.